Greetings to the congregation and greetings to those worshiping online. Our message today is sometimes our face is shaking when our life is facing with challenges and difficulties. What is required for the Lord is that in Isaiah verse 9 is the key verse. Let's all read together. Let's all greet in the key verse. If you do not stand firm, you will not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And you can remove your phone. This is what the Lord is wanting us to do. If we not stand firm in our faith, we will not stand at all. Back in 2017, there are two longtime commercial fishermen named John Aldridge and Anthony Sosinski set out to fish from Montauk, Long Island. The boat was on autopilot and they headed out to sea. And about 40 miles offshore, Anthony was sleeping below deck. While John started to get things ready for the catch they would soon begin to haul in. He was at the back of the boat pulling on a handle that was stuck. Suddenly, the handle snapped, sending him falling off the back of the boat. And he went into the water. Since the boat was on autopilot, it just kept going. As soon as John resurfaced from under the water, he began screaming for help. He knew that there was no way Anthony would ever hear him. He watched as the boat went up and over the crest of a wave, and then it was gone. He was alone, treading water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, without a life vest, thinking this was the way he was going to die. And he did not have a life-saving float. He thought that he would die. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? If there's even a hopeless situation, that has got to be it. And John was trying to calm down and fight his thought of certain death. He realized that his boots were very buoyant. Then he got an idea. He took one off, emptied it out, and pulled it back into the water upside down so that it created an air pocket. It floated. So John stuck his boot under his arm as flotation device. At least he could stay afloat, a flicker of hope. John thought of his family and knew that not even Anthony knew what had happened. No one knew where he was, except maybe the two sharks that were swimming about 15 feet away. He tried to set goals, starting with just living through the night and making it until the morning. 4 hours later, back on the boat, Anthony woke up and realized John was gone. He called the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard began its search procedures. Even though the Coast Guard commander admitted he didn't have much hope of finding John in so much open water. Anthony found the broken handle and knew what John must have been doing when he went overboard, which also meant he knew the ocean depth of where he would have been doing. That helped narrow the search. John made it alive to warn him and tried to keep his hope alive. But the hours kept passing, and there was no sign of help. Finally, he spotted a fishing boy and was able to reach it and climb onto it. This was a new search of hope. Less than an hour later, a Coast Guard helicopter flew nearby and spotted John waving and splashing. And they pulled him up to safety. They said, "We've been looking for you for 9 hours." The Coast Guard rescue diver told John. "We've been looking for you for 9 hours. And John said, "You know, well, I have been waiting for you for over 13 hours. This is a miracle that happened to John Aldrich, and he survived. What an amazing story of hope. Thank God our lives have a hope that's guaranteed more than what John went through." In Psalm 103:3, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But praise be to God. He does not remember our sin or have a record of it. The Lord gave us the existing, a good life. But He is good. It's not that we are good, but God is good. And today we think about our hope in the Lord. Let's pray for guidance. Dear our Heavenly Father, You have promised that when you are in trouble in the world, but don't be afraid, because I have overcome the world. And by that promise, that we can see the peace in ourselves when our life is facing many burdens and challenges. Father, I believe that in all the things that happen to our life, You will not let anything above our effort to hide, that we will have our faith not be shaken. May You lift us away from these times of trouble. We lift each one of our members into Your hands, so that You will keep us on this earth, so that the challenges, the difficulties is always surrounding us. May You protect and give us more faith in You, because if we do stand in faith, You will not stand at all. May You teach Your word to us. We thank You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For you and I can have the great hope. Let's use the story of Judah and Israel back in the 7th century before Christ. There are three things that we will think about in this lesson. How do we have hope? The first point is that hope is based on God's promises. And the second point, the hope is based on what the Lord has done. And the third is our hope based on the plan of God. Let's think about the hope based on the promise of God. In 734 BC, Assyria has allied itself with Ephraim to fight against Judah, is the two tribes in the south. And the word of God says, "Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the heart of Ahaz and his people was shaken." Ahaz was the king of Judah in the south. He has a situation that is his great father is one who is Israel, Amaziah. Amaziah reigned for 29 years, and then his grandfather Uzziah It's also fear the Lord. And he reigned for 52 years. And then his father, Jotham, he also feared the Lord. And he reigned in Judah for 16 years. But, so in the history from the great grandfather until the father, almost 100 years, all these kings feared the Lord and led the people the way of the Lord. And Ahaz was born in this situation. Though his great grandfather and father feared the Lord, but when Ahaz became king, then he did not fear the Lord. Think about this. We understand that someone can be born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean that that person also become a Christian. But it has a meaning that the attribute of sin is already inside of each of us. And each one can become does not have any faith, though our father and grandfather have faith in the Lord. Ahaz is one of those. Because Ahaz did not fear the Lord, and he was punished the country Judah during the time of King Ahaz. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we saw that when the army of Israel, led by Pekah, in one day he killed 120,000 soldiers of Judah. They call the prince Maaseiah. They kill Azrikam, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, the second in command of the king. And they deported 200,000 people, including women, to become captives and prisoners. Only in one day we can see the destruction of Judah happened to that country. Why? Because Ahaz did not fear the Lord. He did many evil things in the eyes of the Lord. And so many moments of teaching or punishment, and Israel allied with Assyria attacked the Judah. So Ahaz and the people's heart be shaken. They were so afraid. However, we saw that the faithfulness of God with the country Judah that God has promised of David. In verse 1, when Ahaz, son of Ham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, king, they went out and fight against her, but they could not overpower it. Why? Because not allowed by God. Once God did not allow anything to happen, that particular event would not happen. God reigned over all, and he oversee all the events of this world. In verse 4, Isaiah said to Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. In verse 7, the scroll said, it will not take place, it will not happen. The attack of Israel on Judah would not happen. It will not take place. It will not happen. The attack from Pekah and the people of Israel. The result is in the hands of God. Though Assyria and Israel in the north thought that they could destroy Judah in the south and establish another king, but God did not allow it to happen. And if God did not allow it, nothing can happen. We see that the sovereign Lord oversee the course of the history. And when God oversee Ahaz, God will also oversee everything that our life will face. However, God has led Ahaz a sign to make the promise of the Lord come true, that all these things will not happen. In verse 3, Isaiah said, "Go out, you and your son, Sheer Joseph, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of Upper Pool on the road to the Wanderer's Field." This is a wonderful picture that God expressed through His word. This is promised to Ahaz. When you heard in the old version, the Wanderer's Field or the Upper Pool, when they have to make a cloth of something, they took these material into the upper pool and they used something to beat it to make clean the piece of cloth. And in some movie, we see that they use some stick to beat up on the piece of cloth to release the dust from it to make it clean. And there is a laundry field, and that is a specialist to clean all those very large pieces of cloth. And that word is launderer's field, the field of the launderer, the one who washed these cloth. And on the way there, with those people living by that job, there is an upper pool, and in our version, it's the upper pool, or aqueduct of the upper pool, leading the water down to the field. That image, who was walking, seeing that pool, and there are two, one Isaiah and his son, Shia Jashu, the prophet and his son. It has a beautiful meaning here. The wanderer's field expresses something that is clean. When they walk into that road to see the field of the launderer with the pool, water is flowing, the pool is an image, a blessing from God. Israel is a country in desert, and water is very precious there. The experience of the forefathers when they were saved from Egypt into the promised land, they have crossed over the Sinai desert, so they know the need of water for the people. And in the Bible, there are many times God promised to Israel that He promised, "I will cause the wasteland to be the desert to have pools and water." In the desert, He will turn those into the roads for travel. Desert is where no water is found, but He will create the pools in the desert. And when we talk about pools, the people of Israel know that it's a blessing from God. In the New Testament, Jesus has healed a cripple 38 years near the Bethesda pool. Jesus healed a blind, and he came to the pool of Shiloh to wash his eyes, to be healed. So a pool, that means a blessing from God. An upper pool represents the flowing of the blessing of God from heaven. And Isaiah meaning Jehovah's saved. And Isaiah has a mess from when we don't know, but he gave the name to his son, Shir Shiazabu. That name is mean the remnant of Judah. And in his vision that Isaiah saw, that know his message in all the punishment for the people of God, the remnant will be returned. And so he gave his name Asher, Shiazabub, to his son. But what did God say to Asa? "Be careful, keep and calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smothering trap of fury, because of the fierce anger of Rezin, Aram, and the sun. Jehovah say will help the people, the remnant is Israel, to return." And this is a message that Ahaz will receive by Isaiah. But we know that the heart of Ahaz is not close to the Lord. So he did not experience whatever this promise can bring that God has made Isaac send a message. So God can punish. He can continue to express his mercy on those who has chosen. God allowed Ahaz to be king of Judah. Though Ahaz did not hear the Lord, God continued to have a mercy to Ahaz. And the appointment that God has with Ahaz that is in the up quarter, so there he will see the blessing of God will pour out. God will bless the remnant of Judah with the blessing. But today, the appointment, where is the appointment that God had for us? That is at the cross. At the cross, Jesus said, I will lift up from the earth. But when I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. John 12:32. So the cross is an appointment that God is using it for us, for each one, so we can come to him and receive the blessing there. There's a story about an 8-year-old girl. And in her family, she was saddened by the fact that her brother, Andrew, has a brain damage, very dangerous. And if to heal must be a specialist, very poor, they don't have money. I thought that if we bring this, we have to sell our house to pay for all the medical bills to have an operation on the brain. The parents talk to each other. This only a miracle that can save the little brother Andrew. And the little girl heard all these things, went into the room, pick out the little pig, break it apart, and take all the money inside this little there, and went to the pharmacy and said, oh dear pharmacist, can you give me a miracle? And what are you talking about? My brother has a brain damage. My mother, the man must be a miracle. Do you have a miracle? I want to buy it. And the father says, we don't sell miracle here. And the girl says, go ahead and sell me. I have money. It is not enough. I will have to find enough money to buy a miracle for Andrew. Then the pharmacist said, no, I don't sell you any miracle here. At that time, another person said, do you want to find a miracle? How much money do you have? I said, he gave all her money, $1.11. And the other person, oh, I don't have the money. Maybe you can buy a miracle. And so he took the girl and he took this person home to see how this person can perform any kind of miracle. And the girl led this person back home. And but he is a very famous brain surgeon named Armstrong, and he took Andrew and paid an operation, and after that Andrew was healed without costing anything more. The parents were surprised. This is truly a miracle. This is above our imagination. How could this happen to our family? But this girl, she knew how the miracle happened. The miracle was bought with $1.11. This miracle happened would only cost $1.11 by this for this girl, with the hope of this girl that his brother will be healed. And the mercy of this brain surgeon, dear congregation, the miracle will happen to our life when Jesus will promise on the cross with the faith of yours and mine put in Christ, and with the mercy of the Father God, the miracle will happen. God has always had mercy on us. Jesus always kept his promise. But the important thing are you and I have faith. And the key word in here, if and the key verse that we have read, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you're not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all.
If you don't stand firm on your faith, you will not stand at all.
So here, what God is designed of each of us is that whether we have faith or not, the mercy is always there. The promise of the Lord on the cross is always there. The problem is, do we have faith or not? So if we have hope, put a hope based on the promise of the Lord. We don't depend on our situation, but we depend on the promise of God. Because situation, though, what happened around us, what God will do will be above what we imagine, and will give us peace. The second point is that hope is made on the work of Christ. In verse 8, the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Israel is raised. In the 65 years, Ephraim will be destroyed. It's not longer a nation. Israel and Ephraim will bring the attack to Israel. God promised to Judah, in the 65 years, the two countries will be destroyed. Assyria and Israel. How did God know that it will be destroyed? Because of what happened is in the plan and the sovereign God's plan. So during the 60 years, these two countries, the alliance to attack Judah, will be destroyed. In the Second King, in chapter 15, in the time Pekah's son, there is a son of Hosea, and he killed the king of Pekah, and he became king of Israel in 10 years. And the Bible said Uzziah did not fear the Lord. And because he didn't fear the Lord, the Israel continue to walk in the evil's way. So God has raised up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, to attack. They surrounded Samaria in 3 years, and finally they destroyed the Israel and deported Israel into the Habor River, the town of Egypt. From there, the Israel history ended, the northern part. And during the last king of Israel was destroyed by the king of Assyria because they did not walk in the land of them. But the two tribes in Judah are not, because Ahaz has some skill or whether he has some good defense, but because there was a promise to David 300 years ago. He promised that your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And that promise made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16. And though it's a promise 300 years ago, God continued to keep that promise that God will be on the throne of Judah, and the country of Judah continued to exist. All the threatening of Israel and Ephraim may be fearful, but it required of Ahaz, God said, during this time, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. That's the message of God. God is responsible for the attack of the enemy on Judah. But God asked the people of Judah must have faith and be strong in the faith. All the events of happening to yours and my life, God really is responsible, but God requires us to have a strong faith and be strong in the faith. God in reality, God has reigned over all the events, all the kings of Israel and also the kings of Judah. And he kept his promise with David, his servant. The 10 northern tribe is Israel has ended after Assyria attacked and deported them into exile. But the 2 tribes in Judah, in the south, get allowed to remain. And today, the Israel, that country, Israel is currently named. Why Israel? And because in an our language, when they translate Judah from the Chinese pronunciation, Judah is the Chinese translate into Israel. We did not have that Israel name in our language. In the Old Testament, from that Judah has remained during the time of the New Testament, and now that is that country continues today as a modern Israel. Though many have been attacking, God kept his promise with David. Your reign will be established forever, because the work of the Lord. In the New Testament, in Roman Caesar, they have found a way to destroy the people of Israel so many times. And we know that the Israel has been scattered all over the world. They have no country left there. And that scattering over many centuries until the 19th century, we saw that the Germans passive in the Second World War find a way to destroy all the Jews, but they could not exterminate the Jews. And in the end of the 20th century, the beginning of 21st century, we saw that all the Arabian country find a way to attack Israel, to bomb the country Israel, but the country still stand today because of the promise to King David. So thanks be to God. God is holding all the events of history. He has promised Ahaz that things that the 2 countries, Assyria and Israel, to try to attack would not happen. And praise be to God that when he promised, he kept his promise and he carried on spirit. So whatever God promised in our life, in the Testament, we can be determined our faith that based on that hope. But the important thing we be reminded is that if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And so our strength in the faith depends on whether we have true faith in God. The devil will use any kind of a bad situation to sway us. Maybe war, maybe natural disaster, or some unfortunate events can help you that cause us to think that a doubt about our faith. A doubt about what we put faith. Is it worth it to believe in Christ? But remember, if you do not stand firm in your faith, that you will never will have stood at all. So may God help us. Our hope must be promised on the promise and the work of the Lord, because he reigns over all events that happen in the world. The third point, hope must be based on God's plan. In verse 10, God said, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. That's what the Lord spoke to Ahaz. If Ahaz is worthy to be blessed by the Lord, the one who did not hear the Lord. If we reread the history of Ahaz in the Chronicles and the Kings, we saw that Ahaz is something who denied the Lord. He was hoping in the power of Assyria power. Assyria, if they fight Damascus, and so Assyria may not attack Judah. Assyria has attacked 10 tribes in the north and deported them, but now they must support Judah. I think Ahaz has put hope in Assyria. So he took all the gold, the silver in the temple, and those are the holy objects in the temple of the Lord. He used all of that and become a tribute to King of Assyria and said, please help me to fight. And Assyria accepted, took all the silver and the cup from Assyria and attacked Damascus. When Ahaz came to Damascus to look at the victory of Assyria to attack, and he saw a temple, a model of the temple of an altar, because they were worshiping idols, and he took those models, and Assyria also looked at these altars. He took this model and brought it back, and all the priests must fix the altar of the Lord to look exactly like those in Damascus. They turned, and has they turned, the altar of the Lord has become a place of idol worship. Is Ahaz, is that worthy of deserving God's blessing? But God continues to Ahaz, ask for a sign. Whether it is in the deepest depths or in the highest heights, I will do it. It doesn't matter what that sign is. But Ahaz looked to Assyria. So Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. I do not need the Lord. It's essentially what Ahaz said. Then Isaiah said in verse 13, hear now, you house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. Ahaz did not ask for a sign, but God will give a sign, like what Isaiah said. We know that this is a prophecy about the birth of Jesus. When Jesus came, his name was Emmanuel, and that means God is with us. However, all these kings, the Father is not just for, the prophecy is not for Ahaz, but for the whole world. And I said, house of David, all the tribes of Judah, listen to this word from the verse. Will you try the patience of my God? Is it not enough to try the patience of human? Will you try the patience of God also? Ahaz has an impact on his people, and Judah did not trust in the Lord anymore under Ahaz. But God's patience continued to be next to the country of Judah. If they did not ask for a sign, God will also give a sign. And that is, there will be a virgin give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. And the virgin means, it doesn't mean that somebody will give birth to herself. And it means that a virgin will give birth. That means it's a girl is the time to get married, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean like what Mary gave birth. And so we distinguish what God is talking to Ahaz. And this sign that God is giving, the plan of God, is sure. He will destroy the enemies of his people. In verse 16, before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. It's a guarantee by God. The two countries that they were afraid, they will be destroyed. And in their eyes, the 10th tribe of Israel has been deported by the Assyrian. And afterward, with the tributes of Ahaz, and as Assyria attacked Damascus, God kept his promise for all the events in history. But in that promise, has no meaning to Ahaz at that time. In the history of the kings of Judah, there is no baby named Emmanuel. But according to the second, all the kings, first king and second king, there is a girl named Abigail, a young one, has given birth to Ahaz, a name, and his name is Hezekiah. In 2 Kings, verse 18, Hezekiah is one who fears the Lord. And there is some determination in all the kings of Judah. No one can fear as fear the Lord as Hezekiah. And those before him did not fear the Lord as Hezekiah, because he held on to the Lord. Hezekiah was born and became an immortal king worth to be followed for following the Lord. So that in 2 Kings verse 18, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Just like his father did. Formed the watchtower to fortify the city. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory. Philistines always want to fight the people of Judah. But he defeated Philistines and overcome the towns of the Philistines. Though in his end of Hezekiah, he fell in his faith when he denied the Lord. But the plan of God as for Judah will not be deterred because of his promise. There will be a sign that a virgin will give birth to a son and will name him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. God has a plan, a sure plan for the enemies of Judah. And God has a plan for sure for the enemies of the Christian. Jesus is called Emmanuel. That meaning God is with us, has been born for the triumph of Jude. And Christ said, when I am lifted up, I will draw many to myself. This is a promise of Christ. This is our appointment for all his children. The cross. Ahaz denied the appointment, did not receive the promise of God. So his life has been rejected. How about us? Do we receive this appointment with Christ at the cross? To come to Christ to experience the victory that God will has promised us. Today is 80 years, what the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, 80 years anniversary. And they don't know whether after this event, would they also bomb the Philippines in 1941. Douglas MacArthur, a general, was the commander of the American forces stationed there in Philippines to fight against the Japanese. When the Philippines was attacked, there was no way that the American and Filipino forces could win. President Roosevelt ordered MacArthur to escape to Australia to organize the American war effort from there by a submarine. MacArthur loved the Filipino people and he wanted to stay and fight with them. However, he obeyed his order. He escaped in the submarine through enemy control water and made it safe to Australia. At that time, he got on the radio and sent a message of hope to the Philippines resistance movement like this: I came through and I shall return. The people were strengthened by MacArthur's promise. They knew that MacArthur loved them and that he would not abandon them. When life became nearly impossible during the occupation, they whispered to each other, MacArthur will come back. MacArthur will return. And October 20th, 1944, General MacArthur kept his promise. American forces landed on the Philippine soil and began to fight to free them. MacArthur stood on the beach that day and uttered his most famous quote to the people of the Philippines: I have returned. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil. Dear congregation, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, there's a promise of Christ with us. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of the death and Hades. That promise to us, I will return to you, to bring you with me. The promise of Christ is still there. The love of God is still there. And if all these things happen in our life, if God is helping us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If the Lord is for us, this doesn't matter what the situation is, they can disappoint it. But remember, if you stand firm, not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And so the important for you and me to see, examine our heart. Or do we truly have faith in the Lord? And based on the promises, what he has done, and according to his plan for each one of us. May God bless you to receive the victory during the time of trouble on this earth. Let's all stand. We will pray. Today is the day we will receive communion. And that represents the body and blood of Christ. The cross today, on the cross, is it an appointment for us to meet God there? May we have a determination to come to this point of appointment to receive His blessing. Let's all read the key verse of today's message. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Ye our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you because the battle is the Lord's. God just wants us to be silent before you so that you can fight for us. And sometimes we could not remain silent. We could be swayed when our focus is on difficulties among the challenges, and then our faith would be shaken. Please remind us so that we always remember, if we not stand firm in our own faith, that means we will not stand at all. Please give us what we need to do. So whatever situation may occur, that God will see each one of us that we have to stand firm on our faith. Please help us to not look at the failures. Please help us not to look at the suffering. Please help us not to see at those the devil is threatening us or tempting us, so that our faith could be shaken. But make us remember your promise, Lord, and what God has said to his people, as well as a promise that you have given us. May we stand firm on your faith. Thank you, Lord. May you bless us. And this time, we will receive the cup and bread that represent your body and blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. There on the cross, you have removed our sin. Everything has done on the cross. There is nothing else we have to do to save ourselves. May you make us to determine this faith that we will not lose our salvation, so that we experience peace in your heart, in our heart. We lift everything into your hand, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.